Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with John Ford, the state senator from Indiana, who was largely behind the legalization of sports betting in the state, about his plans to push a measure adding iGaming in the next session. Today's podcast is sponsored by IGT, where the cat's out of the bag. IGT's Prosperity Link wins gold and is named Best Slot Product by GGB Gaming and Technology Awards. Get this top performer on your floor. Learn more at igt.com/prosperitylink. Educated in a small town, taught to fear Jesus in a small town. Used to There have been a few states that have done it right when it comes to the legalization of sports betting in the U.S., and Indiana was one of them. State Senator John Ford was the main sponsor of the bill, and he explains why sports betting has been so successful in his state. Then he moves on to talk about the upcoming push to legalize iGaming in Indiana, and also addresses why he believes the state's land-based industry is also in a good place. He spoke with me at the winter conference of the National Council of Legislators from Gaming States, NCLGS, of which he is current president, at Resorts World in Las Vegas in December. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Senator John Ford from Indiana. Senator, thanks for joining us. It's great to be here at the NCLGS conference, of which you're president. So welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. Look forward to a great discussion.
So let's talk about your sports betting in Indiana. You had a very successful launch, particularly when you view the debuts in other states. Why was it so smooth in Indiana?
You know, I think one of the big reasons was conferences like NCLGS, where a lot of our legislators, like myself, got educated.
Yeah.
And then we spent a lot of time on educating the General Assembly. We even brought UNLV out to Indiana to hold a class. So really, the key, I believe, was education.
Mm-hmm. Did you model it after any specific state?
We took, you know, bits and pieces from different states and definitely looked at New Jersey.
Okay.
Especially on the regulating side.
Yeah, I know Dave Rebuck in New Jersey is very open to that, counseling other states. And I think in terms of their regulations, they had it pretty much nailed right from the start.
Yeah, and they had years of experience. Right. So why not go to the best place that was operating at the
time? Right, no question. So what were some of your challenges in getting the bill passed? Whenever you try to expand gaming, there's always some people that are questioning it.
Yeah, probably the biggest one was that, you know, did we really need to do this? Was there many people betting on sports?
Right.
And, you know, to me that was kind of a silly argument because everybody's been betting on sports for a long time.
Sure,
and we knew it was going on. So it was that. There was some controversy with the leagues at the time because it was so new. You know, I think the leagues felt they should get a piece of the gaming dollars. So navigating that, and then I think obviously Indiana is a very conservative state and overcoming some of the religious objections.
Sure. So what were some of the compromises you had to make? I mean, you have a really reasonable tax rate. The fees were pretty reasonable to get a license. But obviously there were other people that wanted to really raise it as high as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the argument for me for keeping the rates low was we really, really wanted to bring in the illegal market. So we believed if we keep taxes low and keep the barriers to enter low, that we could draw more of that illegal business into a regulated market.
Right. So, and then, of course, the licensing process, you make sure that everybody has the integrity that they need when they get into the industry.
Yeah, which is an important part because we need, you know, the integrity of gaming to be as high as possible because otherwise people will start not believing that the games are fair.
Sure. And I know you also looked at responsible gaming and problem gambling. What kind of stipulations did you put in to protect people with problems with gambling?
Yeah, we, at that point, you know, we used geofencing was really a key piece, and obviously we need to do that to meet federal rules. But then we put in the know your customer strategies, so to make sure age verification and children couldn't be a part of it, and a lot of just those consumer protections that happen when someone gets licensed.
So are you pleased with the way it has kicked off and the revenue it's producing for the state?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. I get jabbed a little bit from my colleagues because I stood up there and said, well, we think the illegal market's $300 million.
Right.
Well, this year it looks like, or last year we did about $2.2 billion.
Right.
So I get jabbed a little bit there, but it's a hard number to come by. But yes, we've been very happy with the rollout, and you know, and it's been pleasantly a success.
Okay.
The cat's out of the bag. IGT's Prosperity Link wins gold, named the best slot product by GGB's Gaming and Technology Awards. A top game performer since being released, Prosperity Link features the player favorite lock and respin bonus and the exciting free games bonus with either scatter or multiplier wilds. Prosperity Link will drive players to your floor with its popular game mechanics. Grab this exciting game while it's hot. Learn more at igt.com/prosperitylink.
So your next challenge is taking on online gaming. You know, it's been very successful in the states where it exists. So what are some of the strategies you're going to use to get that bill passed?
Yeah, I think we'll clearly talk about the illegal gaming and that it's going on right now in Indiana, and how can we bring that into a regulated market and put in those consumer protections.
Sure.
Because, you know, one of my fears is that kids are getting online and betting with
right.
betting online mm-hmm. illegally, but then also making sure that, you know, in a regulated space, that we've got regulators testing these products to make sure that they're fair
sure.
to consumers is a key part. And we know the illegal market, they're taking higher margins
mm-hmm.
and they're not, you know, they're not really being tested to make sure that their integrity is
sure.
good.
Sure. Are you getting any feedback from the land-based casinos on this issue?
Yeah, they've been very supportive mm-hmm. Of iGaming. And, you know, if we look back at our sports wagering effort, maybe if I had anything to do over again, I would have just included iGaming.
Right.
You know, we're
sure.
two-thirds
right.
of the way there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, this session we'll look at, obviously, iGaming, but also iLottery.
Right. In terms of the technology, is there, you going to have to add anything to that, or the sports betting technology really handle the iGaming end of it?
I think from talking with our regulator, I think it's certainly 80% of what's in place for sports wagering will be used for iGaming.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything, we just want to keep updating our security efforts, and we'll make sure that we have the best practices in place.
Sure, sure. So a study was done by the Indiana Gaming Commission about the impact of online gaming in Indiana, and it showed the state could reap as much as $900 million in taxes. Did this give your movement some impetus there?
A little bit, but we're, like a lot of states right now, sitting with a large surplus.
Mm-hmm.
So the you know, we don't need the money, so that argument isn't going as well as I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, we're... definitely, it is interesting to folks, and I think, you know, when one of the areas I think we're going to try to do more on is responsible gaming.
Sure, okay.
And putting more money into responsible gaming.
Sure, okay, great. So what's the plan going forward? Do you have a timeline?
So we go into session in January, and Representative Manning on the House side, who is chair of public policy, will be carrying, filing the bill, and will be starting in the House.
Okay.
And our session ends in April. So hopefully by the end of April, we've got something passed.
Great, great. So Indiana has the semi-misfortune of being located next to Illinois and its dysfunctional gaming industry. How will the expansion of gaming in and around Chicago affect the casinos in northern Indiana?
Yeah, it's interesting. We, you know, have been looking at that. Right now, you know, we opened up a newer casino in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a large Hard Rock casino
right.
close
mm-hmm.
to Chicago, and they don't seem to be too worried about it. But I'm sure there'll be some novelty in the beginning, and then it will flow back to normal.
Sure, absolutely. So you do have some planned expansion in Indiana. I know there's a casino going up in Terre Haute. Give us some background on what's going on there.
Yeah, so as part of our sports wagering bill, we also did an expansion of gaming, a new Hard Rock in northern Indiana, and then a Churchill Downs casino in the Terre Haute area.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, after a few years, is now broken ground, and hopefully that'll open here in a year and a half.
Okay, great. And is that being received very well? I know Hard Rock has become the number one revenue producer in the state.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think there were some folks a little disappointed that Hard Rock wasn't coming to Terre Haute, but it didn't pan out. But a lot of excitement, I think, you know, a lot of thoughts of what we could do with those gaming dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the focuses for gaming in Indiana's economic development.
Right.
So I think a lot of folks are looking at that as a great opportunity.
Great, great. So you're president of Nicklegees. Tell us why you joined Nicklegees and why you think it's an important organization.
Yeah, so I my first Nicklegees, a few lobbyists had suggested that I attend Nicklegees to learn a little bit more about gaming. And we did that, and I really just liked the format, and everyone is very open to helping each other learn the different mm-hmm. aspects in the industry. And so it's been a very, very good experience for me.
Right, right. And in terms of your presidency, what do you want to accomplish when you're president of the organization here?
Yeah, I think we, a few things. We want to continue to grow state memberships, mm-hmm. and we want to get more legislators to come. And continue to educate folks on new technologies and new areas within gaming. And then I think a responsible gaming resolution is something that I'd like to get done as well.
Sure.
So kind of set some, through research and feedback, set some standards that states can look at to use for responsible gaming.
Okay, great. So, Senator, we just had a panel that we had some very interesting panelists talk about the future of gaming and that, the way land-based casinos are evolving as well as the impact of online gaming. Give us a little your thoughts on what you think is going to happen in gaming going forward.
Yeah, it's, like I said in my opening remarks today, the change in gaming is constant and it's happening faster than it ever has. I mean, in Indiana, we went 27 years before we modernized gaming, mm-hmm. and we're not going to be able to wait 27 years to do that again. And so I think, the future of gaming, like the future in so many different industries with mobile devices, the internet, it's really changing the experience that people want to have in casinos.
Sure.
A lot of folks coming out of COVID don't like to use cash.
Right.
A lot of the younger generation, like my kids, it's got to be Venmo or a credit card, or they don't want to do it. So I think and we're seeing the industry respond to that.
I mean,
we're here at a casino that has cashless gaming. Mm-hmm. So it's a great example.
Great. Well, Senator, thanks for taking the time. I know it's a busy time for you here at the conference, leading this conference, and we think you're doing a great job. So, we'll stay in touch.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak with you, and thanks for attending Nicklegees. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Got nothing against the big town. Still hayseed enough to say, look who's in the big town.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT, where the cat's out of the bag. IGT's Prosperity Link wins gold and is named Best Slot Product by GGB's Gaming and Technology Awards. Get this top performer on your floor. Learn more at IGT.com/Prosperity Link. To learn more about Nicklegees and how it influences the development of gaming in various U.S. states, visit GGBMagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.